Heavenly Father, we worship you. Once again, we confess our sins and clean with the blood. I come as one under authority in order, under my fathers and their covering, and under the Lord Jesus, the shepherd of and bishop of our souls, in unity with my brethren. And we come to ask you for mercy. This is your word. Only you can unravel it. I recognize my weaknesses, my limitations, and my infirmities. And I ask you to anoint me afresh. Fresh mercy, fresh unction from your throne, so that, Lord, your word will be in me like, Lord, a river of living water that will flow out, bringing life and restoration, healing and strength and refreshing to your people in the name of Jesus. Let it come in power. Let it come in clarity, in simplicity, in humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And let it do an eternal work in our hearts, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will. Our minds, Father, illuminated with the light and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Our emotions, Father, controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So that truly, Lord, your soul will delight in the work that the word will accomplish in our lives today, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that under the covenant of my fathers, let the power of God back this word. And everywhere it goes throughout the entire earth, let it remove every veil of covering. Let it break yokes. Let it set captives free in the name of Jesus. Let it bring strength to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, that our fruit will bring you pleasure and will glorify you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise and to be precise, that I will not speak my own words. But Lord, as I do this service that you've given me to do, Lord, with all of my heart, help me, Lord, to do it as unto you. So that, Lord God, Lord, I will not speak of myself, but I will speak of you and of that which I have heard of my fathers, and that your name will be glorified. Help me to be a scribe, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, to the praise of your glory, that your will and purpose for this time will be fully accomplished, nothing escaping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And the last time we were in this book, we saw that we are elected of God. We were looking at verses 1, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 9, so that we are elected of God to become like Christ. And the purpose is to demonstrate Jesus Christ's glory to our generation and close the age. That's the ultimate purpose. The purpose is to become a Christian, to receive and carry the glory of God, use that glory to fulfill the Father's great commission and close the age, so that we can move on to the next thing the Father has on his agenda. And it's a great privilege for us, and we must not disappoint God. Amen. We will not disappoint God in Jesus' name. It's important because Moses and Daniel and Joseph desired these things. But God said, no, it's not for your time. Seal it up. It's for you and I. Amen. So it's a great privilege, and God will help us to walk worthy of it in Jesus' name. And we saw also that like the Thessalonian church was, it was a church born in persecution. So they had problems and issues with people around them, you know, and it's also an instruction to us that, you know, we must be loyal to God. We must be loyal to the word of God in the face of opposition, tribulation, and persecution. We must not give up. When you look as if you are the odd one out, when it looks as if you are the one who is abnormal, the Bible says we should continue. And that's what the lesson we're learning from the Thessalonians. Because, you know, it is in the place of tribulation that God chooses. Bible says, through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Bible says, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. So, you see, very important that our response under pressure must be toward God and not away from God. When you are corrected, you go toward God, not away from the word. Amen. So don't, because the devil tries to isolate
And when he isolates you, don't come to church, stay alone, feel sorry, then he can pick you up better. But when he's part of a culture, you come to church, you go and meet authority, you apologize, and you are determined to follow through, then Satan has no answer to that kind of Christian. And this is the will of God for us. Amen. We also saw that it's the anointed word of God that is backed by revelation, power, and the joy of the Holy Spirit that resonates in the honest man's conscience. You see, the word of God is supposed to speak to men's conscience. It's not supposed to excite their emotions. It's not supposed to, you know, to appeal to their mind and their soul as if it's poetry. Thank God for poetry. It's good, but that's not what the word of God is for. It's supposed to strike through to the very conscience of man, so that the man has, the Bible says, everything is naked and open with him with whom we have to do. So it's a sharp word that comes and exposes everything, so that the man can say, this is who I really am, can change and follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what in Jesus' ministry, when men saw God revealed, because Jesus is the word personified, when they saw God revealed, they will follow. You see, and that's the idea of that. So when you hear the anointed word, but that word has to be anointed, brethren. You see, it's not an eloquent speech. It's not something that rhymes. It's not a motivational thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with motivational message, but it must be Christ-centered. This is the key, because it is that kind of word that men have no answer to. No, you can't give any excuse again. You just put your hands up and say, I am the man. And when you say, I am the man, then God gives you mercy and draws you closer to himself. And those things that he corrected you will become a thing in the past. Amen. And so that's the kind of God we serve. It's not a God that condemns, a God that points out your sin. Once you accept it, delivers you from it. Amen. That's a good. Give him a super hand. That's a good God. Amen. It's not the beat us. It's the devil that beats us on the head and tells you, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. That's not God. God's just that this is wrong, you must accept it. No excuses, no reason, that's it, wrong, okay, fine. Now repent, let's go on. And it's forgotten. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. That's the kind of God we serve. Alright, doesn't look at you through that eye anymore because you're growing. Amen? Alright, so because God knows where we are, he knows where we're coming from. Amen? So irrespective of physical circumstances, we are required to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's the message. No matter what happens. Amen? And this is why Satan fights this type of message. Because he's recruiting little Christs that are going to receive the glory of God, grow up, and close the age on him so that he can't go to the bottomless pit. And he doesn't want that. So he's going to delay and delay and try to hinder, but he's failed in Jesus' name. Alright, now it is this kind of word, no, that also in the lives of the saints. Go to verse 8, thank you. Verse 8, right? It says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every other place, your faith to God word is spread abroad. It is this same kind of word. So there is a level of the word of God that you need to hear. That's apostolic and prophetic word that, you know, doesn't just encourage you. It takes you further on the path of perfection. It comes only from spiritual fathers. All right? And now everybody can preach the gospel, the foundational gospel, healing, deliverance, get born again, no salvation, protection, health, no prosperity. Now anybody can preach that. But let us leave the principles of foundational principles and let us go on to perfection. That comes from fathers. And it's that message that produces fruit. When the foundation of the foundational principles has been laid, when the doctrine of foundational principles has been laid, on top of that, we now build the superstructure of perfection. And it's that causes your faith to sound out. So your faith doesn't need a trumpet. Just look at your life and it's sounding. Amen. That's the will of God for us. So, because it has to sound, because we are connected to a living and true God. You know, look at it in verse 9. We're going to a living and true God. And that living and true God speaks of truth. The Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So, Jesus is the vine. The Bible calls him the true God. This is the true God. All right, so it means that there is a fake God. If there's a true God, there's a false God. There is a notion of God that you have in your mind that you think God is like, that God is not like. And until you have life, eternal life, which is the nature of God, and increase in it, and that life gives you light, you won't see God the way he really is. So you will think you are serving God, but you are not really serving God. You are serving what you think is God. As some people say, God told me something, that those things are contrary to the scripture. How can God tell you that? How can you say that it was God that told you that? And that thing is contravening not just the spirit, the letter of scripture. That's not possible. It's not God. And this is why Bible talks about the living and the true God. Because this is eternal life that we may know. Knowing God is what Christianity is all about. We need to know him as branches of the vine. And when we know him, we bring forth fruit. Now that fruit impacts our society. We are the salt of the earth. So your speech, Bible talks about word, which is your speech. Conversation, which is your way of life. Talks about charity, which is our acts of compassion and charity. Like we had Living Mercy Voice Funfair yesterday. You know, and we gave to it. You know, we also came and spent money. And it's all for God's constituency, the less privileged, whom God loves very dearly. So acts of compassion. You know, we do that. And your faith is sounding out. Bible talks about spirit, your attitude in all situations. Bible talks about faith. Your faith must sound out the way you speak, the things you do, you know. And then, of course, your purity must sound out. The way you carry yourself, the dressing, you know. No, because purity is internal, but it does have external correlates that we have to be able to see. That this person is pure. Your motives for doing the things that you're doing. So these things are the way in which our faith sounds out. And it's interesting that there are six of them. And six is God's number for man. So your word, your conversation, your charity, your spirit, your faith and your attitude. And Bible says we are an example to believers. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Okay, we won't turn there. So brethren, this is what we must see. When you are serving God, you are looking inside to make sure you are pleasing God. You're not looking outside. Eh? Now, there are things outside. Prosperity, open door, visa, increase, life partner, twins, in Jesus' name. For those, some people don't want. Okay, so we'll qualify. Because I know there are some people that don't want. So, twins for those that want in Jesus' name. So, there are things that are external. Some people want degree. To graduate with first class or with flying colors, you have it in Jesus' name. Yes, so there's some things you want that are external, but the things you look at are the things that are internal. So we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen, they come and go. And when you look at them all the time, they will discourage you. 1 minute, Satan will use them to lure you out. So you'll be very happy. Then once they're not there, he will now leave you high and dry. So the key is to always, even when you look at them on the outside, keep looking on the inside as well. Keep thanking God for them because it's the inside that produces the outside. This is the key. So we see the rod of the almond tree. We have to see that. We see by revelation. And it's what we see that we experience. Christianity is about experience. You grow in your experience of Christ. But you must see by revelation before you experience it. Amen. So we boast in how much we know God. All right, now let's go on to what we have today. Verse 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his son, let's read it together. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. Now, the Bible says that we are waiting for his son from heaven. Amen. Now, that waiting is not a passive waiting, it's an active waiting. Pastor has taught us this beautifully so many times. All right, so I'm just going to echo exactly what we've been taught, that we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come in us, and then he's going to come for us. How do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Let's turn there quickly. Right, talking about Jesus. Let's read it together. That he might sanctify and cleanse it.
Let's go back to verse 25 so we can have an idea. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it as a standard of love. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is Christ the church, with the washing of water by the word. Next verse. That he might present it, what is it? The church. To himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, the church is not like that yet. It's going to be like that ultimately, but it's not like that yet. So Christ can't come for it now. So the coming is not first for us in the rapture. It is first in us so it can prepare us to have the glory of God and then be without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, and then receive the glory and go out and do all the things he asks us to do. Then he's coming for us. So this is the understanding. So he's coming in us first. So that's just important that we understand that. And there are two ways Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. All right. The first way is legal. The second way is vital. Okay. Legal is in the sense that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. Amen. He went to hell in our place and he paid the price completely. The Bible says the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So Jesus has taken your reproach. Amen. So we don't have to pay the reproach again. Amen. Give him a super hand. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The reproach is taken away. The sin, the shame is taken away. Amen. So he's paid that and legally. But you know, there's one thing to be legal. There's another thing to be vital. In your experience and my experience today, the question is we must be enjoying that as a reality. Amen. So now that deliverance from wrath is the second one, is now the vital one, in the sense that he gave us his nature, eternal life. 2 Peter 1:3 says that all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given to us. So that nature is first in our spirits when we get born again, but now we then, by the help of the Holy Spirit, using the word and the blood and the spirit, then remove that nature from our souls and our bodies, because that nature is still there. And once the nature is there, it's going to attract wrath, because it's going to make us disobey God. Let's look at Romans chapter 2 and see how this works. Romans chapter 2 verse 6 to 9. Talking about God, it says, let's read together. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, this is the principle. God's going to give to every man according to his deeds. There's no way you can do something and say, God, remember me now. Mm-hmm. It's your deeds. So, if you want something from God, you have to watch your deeds. That's what he say. Okay, next verse. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So if you keep seeking for glory and honor and immortality by your deeds, then God will give you eternal life. That's what he's saying. So he's responding to what everybody is doing. God is not the one that started it. It is us. So it's what you do that now determines how God responds. Next verse. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but do what? Obey unrighteousness. To those ones, indignation and wrath. Next verse. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So God is not making any distinction. None. And this is how wrath can come upon us as Christians if we keep living in disobedience. We won't live in disobedience in Jesus' name. All right? So we need to grow in obedience. This is the point. We grow in eternal life. Eternal life grows from our spirit, grows into our soul. And it begins to grow and grow and grow. And we cleanse out that nature of the devil, that is in the soul. We cleanse it out using the equippings that God has given us, the blood, the word, and the spirit, so that we can escape the indignation. It's the same way Jesus did. You know, Jesus is a man. He came here as a man, approved of God by signs and wonders. Acts 2:22. So he was a man. So he came here to show us exactly how to do it. He didn't come as God. Pastor has often taught us that. So and we see in Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. So obedience, obeying the truth, has to be learned. We grow in it. And to the degree that we grow in it, we escape the wrath of God. That's the whole idea of God. That's why we grow in it. That's why we grow. We grow in obedience so we can escape the wrath that is coming upon the rest of the world. And sometimes when we don't do what we're supposed to do, God will chasten us so that we will not be condemned with the world. Everything is about obedience. So obedience is the goal. Amen. So and that's how we wait for Jesus, because we wait for him actively by obeying. We keep obeying. We keep obeying. And we increase the level of obedience. And we increase the level of obedience. Whether you're under pressure or not, you increase. You know, sometimes, in fact, when we are not under pressure, that's the time that we need to be very careful. When we're under pressure, it's like, there's already pressure. You're already aware that, I must push, I must push. But when there's no pressure, it's like, it's a big deal. Everything is going on okay. I can afford to go to Dubai like that. I can afford to do everything I want. Money is not an object. My children are happy. My grandchildren are fine. Everything is going my way. Oh, I think I need to rest. Let me start playing golf on Sunday. Yes, now. Yeah, no, you know, it was when David was in his palace. That was when he was not in the time of war. In time of war, he woke up early in the morning because in any moment Saul was coming. But when there was ease and there was comfort, but then we need to be careful, amen. So that's the whole idea. We need to be, so how do we do that? We constantly clean our hearts, we constantly receive life to speak the word of God, and we constantly pray in tongues and we travail. So we clean with the blood, we load with the word. But you know, when you talk about the word, you are talking about the life of God and the word of God. So you use the life to speak the word. That's why we speak it. Bible says, the word I have commanded you is not in heaven. It is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So we speak the word from a heart full of life. And then we pray in the spirit. That's how we obey. We keep the word so we can do the word. If you don't keep the word, you will not do the word. You may have an intention to do the word, but you will not do the word. It's a spiritual law. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 to 14. Okay. All right. Next verse. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So that's how we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to wait faithfully in Jesus' name. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2 now. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Amen. Next verse. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Next verse. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. It's loaded. Next verse. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Wow. God will have mercy on us. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Thank you. All right. Now, the word of God must not come to you in vain. It must produce an impact in your life. Not just an impact of, I agree with the word, but the impact of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says, by this is God glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So God wants to see fruit. That's how it's not in vain. Amen. And we see the Apostle Paul emphasizing the vital truth here. That their shameful experience in Philippi, you know that what happened to them in Philippi, when they were going about, you know, Lydia came, they went to Lydia's house, and all that, and they were going about, you know, Paul and Silas were going about, and there was this girl with the spirit of divination. It's all in Acts 16, but I'm trying to save time. Verse 12, verse 16 to 18. You see the trend. You know, in verse 16 to 18, those guys are saying, these are the men of God. Give me verse 16 to 18. These are the men of God that have come to show us the way of salvation. It was a spirit of divination. But it was saying the correct thing. So brethren, you can have people saying the correct thing, but the spirit behind it is wrong. And the spirit is what's going to affect you. You pick the spirit. So many times, Satan will give the right words, but the wrong spirit. So it's cloaked. And you have to be able to discern it correctly. Amen? So the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Is there anything wrong in this? Not by the word, but in the spirit. It's provoking. It's provoking. All right? And next verse. And this did she once or twice. Many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. He didn't talk to the girl. The devil was hoping Paul would respond to the girl. And people can say, what are you doing to a little small girl? But Paul responded to the spirit, the very source. You have to learn to speak to the spirit. When you're in situations with people, don't respond to the people. Respond to the spirit behind the people. Amen. So, and I told and said, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same, and he came out the same hour. And then, a lot of stuff broke loose. Verse 22, quickly. All right. 22, thank you. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They stripped them. Imagine somebody stripping you in public. Tore your clothes. Tear your clothes. So that only your underwear is showing in public. Next verse. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. It's not a portion. But you know, we don't know what the days are bringing. This is Paul. How many people want to be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There is not labor for me a crown. This is the way he went to. So don't expect to get the reward by just avoiding everything he went through, and then you can sit on the same throne at the same level. Brethren. Mercy. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, not that they beat them. Passion. Koboko. For casting out a spirit that was provoking and tormenting. And deceiving people. They had laid many stripes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the Lord to keep them safely. We know the story. We're not going to go into it. Put them in prison. Of course, God, they prayed and sang praise to God. And the question is this. Was that in that difficult situation, they didn't allow the situation to get to them. And this is the issue that God is trying to teach us. That there is shame in following Christ. Brother, you went very silent. There is shame in following Christ. If you are following the real, true Christ, the Bible says, let us go without the camp. He is not in the place that is convenient. Sometimes standing up for the truth is difficult to do because it brings shame. It affects your reputation. People look at you some way. Everybody wants somebody to love them. There's nobody who doesn't like anybody loving them. Nobody doesn't want to be popular. But sometimes the truth makes that difficult. You have to choose between it and popularity. Amen. Sometimes following fathers brings you shame. Ask Elisha. Sons of the prophets at Bethel. At Bethel, at Jericho. Oh boy, they're going to take your master away today. Oh, ton. Oh, B. Oh, yeah, you see? Now you're going to be headless. All the ones you have been doing all these years is for nothing. What do you have to show for it? The man is going away today. That much we know. So what will happen to you after that? Directionless. You just wasted your time. And we're telling you. All the oxen that you are doing, the father, you left your father's family business to follow the man. Now the man is going. So what's going to happen to you? This prodigal son. Yes, that's what we'd have said. Left your daddy for one stranger. Now the guy is going. What's going to happen? There's shame. There's shame. But what did he tell them? Hold your peace. Let's see the end of this. We have not gotten to the end.
When we get to the end, the vision will speak. You will not lie. Amen. So that's what we're saying. So we're saying that you know, as we follow, we overcome. There's a lot of shame, but Jesus Christ has told us exactly how to overcome. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Quickly, thank you. What does it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author, as the beginner, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we're going to do it too. For the joy. What joy? The joy of the glory and the joy of the resurrection. The end. It is the joy of the end and the joy of the glory that keeps us going forward. Glory is going to come out of this. I'm not going to come out, you know, like the man that sold the pearl, sold everything to buy the pearl of great price. When he was making that transaction and saying, every woman must said, you are stupid, you are foolish. There was shame. You want to sell this one too? Sell that one too? I want to sell everything. Ha! There's something wrong with you. But when he brought back the pearl of great price, it more than made up for it. More than made up for it. So, brethren, we must see the end. Looking within. And how do you know, as you look to Jesus within, we're talking about looking to Jesus, you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit within you. I'm increasing in the fruit of the Spirit. So I am on the right path. Any path that is giving you external things at the expense of fruit is a broad road that leads to destruction. Thank you, sir. Pastor ministered one place and there was a beautiful caption, graphic caption. It said, God loves you too much to allow you to prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. He loves you too much. So God doesn't do that. So the real prosperity is the prosperity of the soul. And that must become, and that one attracts. That was a strong man, retain riches. You attract it. When people are going after you, stay where you are and the thing will come and meet you there. That's the power of Christ. That's the power in Christ. It attracts. It attracts the blessing. Amen. So you have to keep looking at that. The joy of carrying the glory of God. The joy of sitting on his throne, on that mercy seat with him. The joy of reigning with him forever. They must keep us going. In those times when everything around us is contrary. Like Moses. The Bible says Moses, look at Hebrews 11:27. Let me not quote it wrongly. You know? Yes, and don't see him that is Hebrews 11:27. But by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does he do? He endured the cross. Brethren, you need revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is needed to endure. You can't endure without light on the inside. You need light on the inside to be seeing what God is seeing and be sure that you have your priorities correct. And then you are sure. So your approval is not coming from outside or the one that men gives. You are seeking the approval that only God can give within. Seek the honor that comes from God alone. John 5:44. And then we bounce back. From that difficult place, the Bible says, them that pass it through the valley of Baca, make it a well. You can go through a dry place and it will turn around while you are there. Amen. The Bible says that God will cause all things to work together for good. He does. Not for everybody. For them that love him and are called according to the Bible, who have prayed with all kinds of prayer. That's how it works. So we are not, like Paul, you don't go to where it's convenient. You go where God says. God said Paul should go to Rome. And there were things that were going to bind him when he got to Rome. But he still went to Rome because that was what God was saying. More immature brethren were saying that, brethren, brother, don't go. If I don't go, how will the purpose be fulfilled? The goal is to fulfill the purpose. And we are going to fulfill that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God for us, to fulfill his purpose. So how do we bounce back? You know, when you're going through a tough place and people are calling you names, snitch, hello, children, when you tell the truth, and people say you're a snitch. You are two-faced. Not two-faced, though. Two-faced. You have two faces. You have two faces. You know, you're sucking up. You're sucking up. You know, what you want, you're going to get something out of it. That's why, say stuff. You have to retreat within. That's the devil. Because the devil uses people's mouth to say things. To ask funny questions. Sometimes it doesn't even need people. The thought will just come to your head direct. But we're getting to Tenshi. All this is you are doing. And all this time, what is your gain? That gain is external. So you have to answer him back. I am more patient. I'm more kind. I am wiser. I have more gentleness. That's how you answer him back. He will shut up, go away, and come back after a season. But when you two are looking around, Otonio, God will have mercy on us. Amen? So what do? We turn to the Holy Spirit, our encourager. That's the first thing. He's our encourager. He's our stay. He does the one that doesn't allow us to be moved. Turn to him and stay in the word. Stay in the place of prayer. And for that shame, you will have double. Isaiah 61 verse 7. Brethren, there's shame. But the way of shame is the way to fame. I'll say it again. That came by the Spirit. The way of shame is the way to fame. Don't turn back from it. Go through it insofar that you are in line with the word and the letter and the spirit of the word of God. You're obeying instruction. It says, for your shame. That means there was some shame. You shall have what? Double. That's what Elisha had. Double for his shame. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land. Which land? The land beyond Jordan. The land of the perfection of the fullness of Christ. In that land, they shall possess the double. And what will happen? Everlasting. Not stopping. Everlasting. Continuous. Continual. Unceasing joy shall be what? Unto them. Pastor Bible says, when the Bible says for the joy, he's talking about this joy. The joy of the double. That's the joy. The joy of the recompense. There's a recompense. There's a payday. Mrs. Johnson, Mom Sarah says it. I say Mrs. Johnson because when I'm talking to children in school. The mom, she always tells us in school, he says righteousness has a payday. It does, oh. And guess what? Disobedience to has a payday. The day of the when the day that should be your honor, disobedience will strip you of it. And the day of your honor, righteousness will prepare you for it. Yes. It takes the Christ in you to pass the exam God is bringing. So if you are building up the Christ in you, guess what? You're only getting ready for the exam. Because if you pass God's exam, there is no exam man can give you that you will fail. Write it down. It is God that raises up one and puts down another. If God says you are passed, he has the final say. He can turn it around. He will turn it around. Pass his exam. Follow his integrity. Follow the path he has said. Don't cut corners. The devil says it's a shortcut. It's not a shortcut. It's a path. You are leaving the expressway to go to a path. How are you going to get to Lagos? Is this Lagos? Is it through path? If you ultimately get there, there will be bruises on your body if you are going by leg. And there will be your car would have gone through ditches. You probably will probably break down. You probably will never get to Lagos. And it will tell you it's a shortcut. It's a shortcut. Don't leave the highway to go for a byway. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's move on. All right. So, verse 3, quickly. So begin to close. Verse 3, thank you. Right. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Brethren, sincerity and purity is critical to be able to turn things around when you're in a tight corner. Be sincere to God. Call a spade. Lord, I'm feeling afraid. Lord, I think I made a mistake here. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, just come clean. Lord, to be honest, I want this thing so I can show them that then God can help you change it. Sincerity and purity are critical. You have to know what's in your heart. Because your heart is your strongest weapon. Your heart is a weapon. the purity and the sincerity of our hearts allows God to be able to move. He shows himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect. And the converse is also true. He is limited by those whose heart is impure. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So for a successful Christian experience, we must have sincerity and is cultivated, brethren. We must hold fast. The Bible says, hold fast. Revelation 3:11. That no man take your crown. Hold fast. You know, don't let offense, shame, fear, unbelief, the vicissitudes of life, you know, human enemies, what people have done, don't let it take your crown. That makes you unstoppable. So our being unstoppable is a function of the sincerity and the purity of your heart. Because it is God that keeps you going forward. And how does God do that? God does that because the sincerity of the heart attracts the mercy of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Thank you. Therefore, and not reading with me, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Next verse. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Give that to me in the Message Bible. Thank you. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. That's being an open book. That is sincerity and purity of heart. Brethren, is cultivated. And this is why, you know, as you cultivate it, you grow in mercy. Because as you know, therefore, as we have received, you know, so you, the more sincerity, the more mercy. And there are three levels of mercy. There's mercy not to be consumed. Lamentations 3:22. The Bible says, because it's of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. There is mercy to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 25, where it says that I, as a steward of the Lord, I've obtained mercy to be faithful. And then of mercy, there's mercy to triumph. There are levels. So you grow in mercy. So this is the thing. You have to grow in mercy by cultivating more and more and more and more sincerity and purity of heart. Amen? And those three levels, you know, enable us to, as it were, fulfill all that God has written concerning us. For example, the prodigal son repented and God had mercy on him. But he repented too late. He was learning by experience. King David, after he went into Bathsheba and all that, he repented. And he didn't do it again. And God had mercy. That's 60-fold. And then Jesus didn't have to repent because he didn't do anything wrong. But he had to call for mercy to triumph. James 2:13, where it talks about, you know, that if you judge without mercy, let's look at it. James 2:13. For I shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. So there is a mercy that rejoices against judgment. That means it minimizes judgment. It neutralizes judgment. You know, and spreads it out over time so that the effect of judgment is very minimal. You know, and then it enables you to push you through. Okay, so there's mercy at those three levels. And we grow in it by the fear of God. It's the more we grow in the fear of God, the more of the mercy of God that we have as we begin to close. And the fear of God, of course, is deep reverence, you know, that we have for God based on the certainty of God's judgment and the security of his mercy. So if you do something wrong, be sure God's going to get you. That thing that the devil says that you will escape, nobody sees, is a lie. Even if man does not see, God sees. And he's coming out to get you. He's going to get you. Except even when you repent, it doesn't stop. You know, you have to let mercy triumph over the judgment. That's why prevention is better than cure. Otherwise, it will just be, slap your face. I'm sorry. Take your wife. I'm sorry. Tear your checkbook. I'm sorry. Bash your car. I'm sorry. You can do anything like I'm just saying I'm sorry. And then that's the end of it. Then now, what kind of society is that? There has to be just recompense of reward. Just, whether you say sorry or not, is coming. Now, if you say sorry, then you can be thinking about how they're going to do it, that they can reduce the amount. And then if you start doing the right thing, then mercy can begin to triumph and begin to reduce this. But believe me, it's better not to do anything. That's the best. Stay away from it. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's the fear of God. This one of fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. No, it's God. You're not stinging anything. You're stinging yourself. The sting of sin is death. You're not stinging anybody. You're not being fast. You're not being sleek. You're dealing with the Most High God. He doesn't sleep. Take the one. He knows everybody's and he's ready, but he's ready to help. His heart is not to. But I mean, this idea that I'm just quickly do it. Nobody will roar. No. Somebody's lied to you. It's not like that. We have to cultivate the fear of the Lord, because it is by the fear of the Lord ultimately that you cultivate the thoughts that God wants you to cultivate that will take you to your expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of good, of peace and honor, to bring us to an expected end. How did David get the thought to build the tabernacle? It's by the fear of God. That's the positive fear of God that we need to have. And put that in our heart so that we cultivate the thoughts that God wants to call it. You know, like mommy, you just had the thought of good morning Jesus prayer. And then afterward, we can now see by revelation, mommy had the thought of 21 day fast. It's in the thoughts. So that's why you purify your thoughts. Purify your heart so that you can, if you keep the place clean, peradventure, you can begin to be on the same frequency that God can begin to talk to you. I'll show you the things you need to do to take you deep and deep into the destiny He has prepared. Amen. This is the reason why we have why we keep ourselves pure. You know, we need to close now. But I just want to just say this, that, you know, the fear of the Lord is key. It's what kept Esther and made Esther to be able to choose only the things that the chamberlain gave her. She had a choice. Mordecai wasn't there. She could have said, thank God, Uncle Mordi is not here. They say I should choose. That's true. Everybody else chose. I didn't do anything wrong. Say she should choose. But she was used to submitting. So she just asked, she just said, well, Uncle Mordi is not here. But let me follow Uncle Mordi's principle. And the next person to Uncle Mordi is Hige the chamberlain. So I'll do what Uncle Hige, who is standing in place of Uncle Mordi. And that's how she got into her destiny. Young people, there is this feeling that I want to be free, is bondage to sin. True freedom, be without sin, is beyond you. It is people, your fathers and those in authority that God has said that can see it. No, so that's why you need to submit. In the world, there's a spirit of independence, but you cultivate another spirit and be different, like Joshua and Caleb, with different spirits. A spirit that is submissive. That's the spirit that has grace. That's the spirit that receives the thoughts of God. That's the spirit that goes in deep within the veil. Moses cultivated the fear of the Lord by doing what God said, to the point that the day he married an Ethiopian woman, you take too much. I'm tired of it. And you take too much upon yourself. Why? Because everything God said, He says. Everything God says, He does. Otisuan, they had it up to here. Does your obedience provoke people like that? I understand. It's okay. Let's just do it like that. You yourself, you're ready. You lower the standard. May God have mercy on us. Are you the kind of person that will stand with them and say, yes, oh, no, this is what we have to do? Moses did that. Moses did it. He stood with it. Bible says, and God said Moses should do this. And Bible says, and Moses did according as God commanded. Go and read it. All through the whole of Exodus, all through the whole of Numbers, all through the whole of Leviticus. So that little one that he didn't do, God said, but you know me. You know me more than this. No, and that's the fear of the Lord. When men are saying something and God is saying something, you have to go with what God says. John the Baptist told Jesus that I ought to be baptized of you. And in a way, it was correct. But Jesus told him, he said, suffer it to be so for now. We must fulfill all righteousness. Brethren, we have to fulfill righteousness. Don't say, but he told me. Elijah told Elisha, stay here. Stay here. You can say, in any kingdom be you. It's what you say that I'm doing. But the fear of the Lord was that what is God saying through what he's saying? And do that. That's the fear of God. God will help us to fear him in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, this is the point. I need to close this, but this is how we walk in the fear of the Lord. Because when we walk in the fear of the Lord, you get mercy. You know, and how do we do that? We set it. We have to set it every day. You know, and there's a prayer we pray. Please put the book, that page 3. You know, I set my will. Now, we have the prayers we pray 4 times a day. I choose to fear God. That's very important. But at the beginning of the day, you set your will. Some of you said, before anything happens, set it. I set my will. And I determined to apply completely and operate diligently the principles of perfection. Let's jump from there because there's a lot of details in between. All right. At least once every 6 hours. As I think and act on the word, so praying without ceasing in my heart, in all honesty and humility. That's the fear of God. Without fear, boldly and diligently by the mercy and the grace of God. That's how to do it. You set it. We have to set it daily. We set it. And when you are walking in the fear of the Lord, you will not fear man. Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But we fear man because we didn't fear God. So go back and correct it. Fear God first, and there's no need to fear man. Amen. Walk in honesty and humility. And God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Sincerity and purity, the fear of the Lord, is the key to continuous and progressive revelation knowledge. So we can walk in wisdom and obedience. It's the wisdom of the just that only the fear of the Lord can bring. Not my will, but thy will be done. Bible says it was heard in that he feared. But then let's repent. It's not a popularity contest. Decide to do what God said to do. Let's repent. And if you're growing, then keep looking out for the fruit in your words. If you're still using swear words, foul language, there's no change, then you need to ask God to give you the fear of God. And begin to exercise it. Begin to cultivate it. You don't have to be like that. You can use the power of God, the word of God, the life of God, the blood, and prayer to correct it. You don't have to live like that. Your way of life, your attitude, your charity and kindness to people, not charging them and asking for things in place of what people have done to you, let them go scot-free. Release them. Show mercy so you too can obtain mercy. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted high above the worship of the peoples of the earth, I see the Lord.
I see the Lord, and my eyes now see the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forevermore. I see the Lord, I see the Lord, I see the Lord, exalted high above the worship of the peoples of the earth. I see my Lord high and lifted up. I see
of that hand to him. He who sits upon the throne, of whose increase and government there shall be no end. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Raise that hand to him and left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I realize, I recognize that I need to grow in the fear of the Lord. I need to increase in the fear of the Lord. I ask you, teach me your fear. Unite my heart to fear your name so that I will walk in the abundance of your light and of your truth. Help me to seek your face in the place of prayer, to be obedient when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, to be quick to repent when I make mistakes, to submit to correction and instruction when I don't feel like it, so that I will have excellent oil of gladness that will cause me to finish my course with joy. I thank you, Father, for preparing my heart to be pure and sincere, to finish this course you have called me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Jabaka fegedeve, mega da baba ba, inga da baba sa, rompe vikea, javerike, rabakato, bena deve, mena deve ka pa pa, jefe kaka sote, rabakata, meka ka tabako, ringa deve berele, rede deve rikaka, oba bango beka baka, koko seka deve be, robo beka kaka, beka deve be, rabaka koko, reka deve be di, kaka beka deve be le, rede deve diyo, arumiye, reno. Parodie, Jengalaya, Robaka, Belea, Jeffrey Keko, Ronde Bebedikinemo. In Jesus' name, amen.